Proverbs chapter 1. Now let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for your strength and your grace, and teach us as we study the book of Proverbs to learn your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. The first part of Proverbs is trying to motivate. To motivate to want to learn God's wisdom. And verses 20 through 32 are like the negative side. When I was in high school, we had a coach. And in the eighth grade, he called what we had a six-lick test. And if you flunked that test, you had to come in front of the class and you got six licks. And believe me, one would kill you. You'd do that today and you'd be sued. But back then, you know what's interesting? Nobody flunked. It was motivating. Chapter 2 is the positive motivation. So chapter 2, he says, if you seek wisdom as silver and gold, these are the benefits you can occur. That same coach came to me and said, you know what, in eighth grade, if you work hard, he came out and built a special basketball goal for me, and he said, you can be starting by the ninth grade on the starting team. He motivated me positively. Well, both sides are needed, the negative and the positive. Let me read a couple of quotes to you. One of the most important characteristics of Christian living is obedience. It is not so much what we do not know what to do, it is that we are disobedient and unwilling to do what we know is right. Sometimes days are spent having to endure the irksome and painful consequences of going our own way. The obedient life will help us avoid the pain, but unfortunately, disobedience is a well-worn path. And what he does in this passage of scripture, he tries to motivate us on the negative. These are the consequences. So let's start in verse 20. There are three things that he says about wisdom. First, wisdom is available to anybody who wants to hear it. And he starts in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. Wisdom is, using the image, is crying out to be heard. And what he does is he used personification. He used the image of a person, and it's an image of a woman who's shouting out and telling everyone, please, please, come learn wisdom. And so he says it's crying out to be heard. Secondly, he says, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She trieth in the chief place of concourse. In the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words. Wisdom is not only crying out, please come, I want you to learn, but it's crying out where we live. Notice, in the streets, in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city. All of those are images of where we transact our daily living and our daily business. The streets are where people are doing activity and involving themselves in daily life. Concourse and the opening of the gates, all the business that transpired, all the things in life. And so what wisdom is doing is crying out and say, listen, I love to teach you how to live in everyday living. I'd love to teach you how to live your life in a daily way. How husbands can be better with wives and wives with husbands and parents with children and friends and neighbors and how to conduct yourself to be prosperous and all the different ways wisdom is saying, listen, I'd love to teach you, not necessarily the high lofty doctrine, but right down here where you live. Verse 22 says wisdom cries out to three types of people. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. In reality, probably only one of these can be taught something. Because wisdom is beginning to give a rebuke. Okay, how long are you folks out there not going to listen? The first one is the simple one, then that's probably the only ones that are going to learn anything. And the simple ones are the naive ones who don't have the experience, who don't know about life, who haven't discovered about life. They simply don't know some things. And he says, how long would you come. I want to teach you. The other two, scorners, mock and make fun of holiness. And fools hate knowledge. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. Those two, probably all through the Proverbs, are never reached. There's some people out there that are never going to be reached. That's just the way it is. They're fools, and some of them are scorners. They make fun. Now, sometimes God will reach, but there are a lot of people that are not going to be reached because they don't want to hear. And so wisdom is crying out, how long will it be before you three will come and listen? In verse 23, wisdom wants them to know, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Listen, I will tell you how to live and how to conduct your life. If you'll just come and listen. And notice he says, to my reproof. Because part of wisdom is being reproved. So the first thing that he says in verses 20 through 23 is that wisdom is available. It wants everyone to know. God does not, as Dr. Burchett used to say, God does not put his truth in the top drawer. He puts his truth down here in the bottom drawer where the smallest of his children can learn. Wisdom is saying, I want you to learn. Secondly, says beginning in verse 24 and 25, that wisdom can be ignored. Verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. Probably that's what I'm going to talk about on Wednesday, those meanings of these words, but I'm not tonight. Wisdom can be rejected. Because I've called, you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. Know anybody like that? They're just not going to listen. Wisdom says, I'm calling out to you, but there are some who reject it. There are some who say, no, I don't want to know. I already know enough, and I don't need to know. And so wisdom can be rejected. God's wise ways of living can be rejected. And then beginning in verse 26, he comes to the heart. Living without wisdom results in serious consequences. First, he says in verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, is that God speaking? No. Yes and no. It's wisdom that's crying out. Anyone that calls upon the Lord at any time, the Lord will receive and answer them. But that's not what's going on here. It is wisdom that's crying out. And wisdom is saying, don't blame God. If you refuse to learn my ways and you refuse to be taught, then wisdom says, I will laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your fear comes. Don't blame God. Don't crawl out to me. You lived a certain way, and now you're going to reap the consequences of the way you live. And wisdom says, I'm not going to be there to help you because you refuse. Notice, they only want out of the consequences. Notice what it says. When your fear cometh, verse 27, as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Now, when you first read those words, you go, what? You mean God isn't going to help somebody when they're in need? No, that's not what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about? This person is not sorry for their sinfulness. They're only sorry they got caught. That's what they're sorry about. Because he goes on and say, verse 29, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. What he's saying is, it's not God saying, it's wisdom being personified as a person saying, okay, because you refused that when your troubles come, and the only reason you're asking is not because you want to change, Not because you want to be different, not because you want to learn my ways, you just want to, you're sorry you got caught. When I was in seminary, we had to do Christian service. And one of the Christian services we did was to go to the local, well, it was not the local, it was a state prison there in Columbia. And I can remember going, and you would walk around, and it'd be a big room with the prisoners. And you were supposed to walk around this hallway, and the bars were between you, and you were supposed to go there on Sunday morning and preach to them. And they're all laying in bed. You know, that was really a fun thing we were supposed to do. Wake them up and preach to them. Do you know how many religious people there are in prison? I'm telling you, once I started talking, these are the most religious people you ever met. Hey, man. Hey, preacher. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Holy Spirit. They, you know, hey, God. They just threw out the name just because they wanted to say it. They impressed me. And the first thing they said, you know, I'm in here for the wrong reason. I didn't do what they said. I didn't commit this crime. It's not my fault. Could you do something to help me get out of here? Well, I'm going to preach to you. Oh, well, yeah, you know. And they didn't really want to hear preaching. That's not what they wanted. They wanted to talk a good talk. Now, I'm not saying everyone's that way, but I can remember looking at them, and I guarantee if you'd have asked them, are you willing to change? Are you willing to be different if I get you out of prison? They said, amen, I'm changing. I'm good to go. And if you let them out, they'd done something again. I had an aunt who had a son who just was always getting in trouble, always. And he'd come back, and he'd serve time a little bit. He'd come back, and she'd help him out a little bit, and he'd say, I promise, I've changed. I'm going to be different. I'm never going to do it again. Wouldn't be 2 months, he'd be back in again. In later years, she finally just said, don't come back anymore. I've had enough. You've been doing this for 30 years, and you've not changed yet, and I can't take the heartache. Don't come back anymore. Well, maybe that's not the best thing, but that's what she did because it was not going to change. That's what it's saying here. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, not because you're going through trials, that's not what we're talking about, but because you refuse to live God's way. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Because they're not interested in knowing. They don't want to know God's ways. They're not interested in learning things. So they're going to suffer. Then notice what it says in verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. That's why wisdom says, I'm not going to help you out now. You just want to get out of trouble. That's all you want. You're not interested in changing. And wisdom says, I'm not going to help you because you don't want to know. You hate knowledge. You don't want to choose the fear of God. You don't want to follow my way. You just want out of your trouble. And then finally he says in verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now this sounds kind of harsh. But this is wisdom talking. And wisdom is trying to motivate. Just as my coach said, if you don't pass the test, you're getting 6 spankings. No one ever failed in his class. They all studied because they didn't want to flunk. Well, that's not the best way to do it, but that's what wisdom is starting to say. Listen, there are consequences if you don't learn my ways. I was telling this morning about my good buddy. We were really just good kids. That's all we were. We didn't go out and get drunk. We didn't party. We didn't carry on. We were just good kids. And you know what? The Lord blessed us and we had a good time. We didn't hang around the rebel rousers and we didn't go bother with the people that were just not what they should be. I can remember one fellow who did, who hung around him and got into a car with a drunk. And they had a wreck. The drunk walked away, but he's paralyzed for life. I'm not getting no car with no drunk. I'm not hanging around though. God gave some wisdom there. But wisdom is saying, listen, if you're not going to learn my ways, you're going to have to accept the consequences. There is a time for parents to say to children, and there is a time for all of us to say to one another, there is a time to say there are consequences. Sometimes my children, my two boys particularly, say, Daddy, wow, you would not let us say the things people are saying today. I didn't spank them. They just knew. There's a wall. We don't discuss it this way. We're in church three times a week. This is the way it is. That's just the way it is. We live a certain way. We conduct ourselves a certain way. That's the way it is. And wisdom is trying to motivate, please, please come learn my ways. That's what Proverbs, please learn. But if you won't, well, you're going to have to eat the fruit of your own way. And you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And don't blame God. Now, not everyone that's in trouble is in trouble because of their lifestyle. But there are many people who are in trouble by the way they conduct themselves. And there are consequences. Dr. Burchett used to say this: God built within his system an accountability. And he said he used to say that even a young girl can get pregnant early. God built within his system an accountability, consequences for the way you conduct yourselves. You drive too fast, don't be surprised at the consequence. Now, this sounds rough, but this is the negative of the motivation. It's kind of like sometimes you have to say, these are the consequences. When Deanne used to take our children to Walmart and say, all right, got four of you, you pay attention. You do what mommy says. If you don't, when we get home, she never had to. That was the negative. The motivation on the other side was, and maybe that bribery, I don't know, we learned that in our parenting class, if you do good, we'd get some candy. I don't know. Maybe that's not the best way. But that's the positive side. And if you go and read Proverbs 2, that's what he does. Man, if you just seek wisdom, look at what you can learn. In other words, the Bible is trying to use two sides of the coin, the negative and the positive. Both are necessary. Sometimes you have to enforce the consequences. Sometimes you have to enforce the enthusiasm. But both work in a person's life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for wanting to teach us wisdom and to learn your ways. I am so, so very thankful for a mother and father who loved you and taught me. I was not perfect and they were not perfect, but they wanted to teach me how to walk with you. And I think they accomplished that. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for homes in our church that want to do the same thing. Children are not perfect. They're not everything they can be because we're sinners, but they're trying. They're really striving to be fine Christian homes. And Lord, we pray for them. We encourage them. We ask you to give them grace and strength in all of that. Thank you, Lord, for those who want to learn your ways. Their lives will be blessed because of it. And those who do not are going to suffer in some ways. And may we still be an encouragement to them, Lord, though. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.